Oops. Welcome back to WD Magicast for the week of March 24th, 2024. This is episode 252. WD Magicast, the show about the mouse, the marvels, the galaxy, and beyond. I'm your host, Matthew Graykin. On this week's show, Matt Leonard and I sit down and discuss the latest class of Disney Legend inductees who will be getting officially inducted come August 11th, but no time like the present to discuss them now. Get ahead of the curve. Make sure to join us on the social media. Tell us what you think about these people and join in the conversations in general. Or any ideas, suggestions you may have, find us just about everywhere at WD Magicast on X, Twitter, whatever you'd like to call it, Facebook, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We are out there. You can also catch this show on streaming on YouTube. You can listen there as well. And while you're at it, check out RT Public Shop and help support your podcast there. Get yourself some cool merchandise, some shirts, hoodies, onesies for babies, coffee mugs, and a whole bunch of other stuff. A lot of fun things there. Check it out. Make sure. And again, like I said, help the show out. And on that note, on with the show. So I said in the introduction, we are discussing the latest cast of Disney Legends to be introduced, and it is quite the interesting lineup. My parents this morning, when I was telling them what we were discussing, said to me, oh, it's probably no one I've ever heard of. And I said, I listed about three names off the top of my head, and they go, oh, we actually have heard of those people. But they didn't know who one of them was, and I was rather disappointed. But I told them what that person had done, and they said, oh, well, we do know who that person, we do know what they've done, but we don't know who the person is. And speaking of people that we don't know who he is, straight from feeding a plant in a pet shop. And I won't tell you what he was doing with his hand inside a plant in a pet shop. Matt Leonard has joined us to educate us on these legends, a legend in himself.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
I was going to say something clever, but I couldn't think of anything. So this is going to be an interesting show. I got no clever thoughts.
Well, that's it, folks. Have a good one.
Good show. It's a good show. Good night, everybody.
Say good night, Dot.
I was going to say something about enjoying a can of beans and nobody knows who I am, but that's such an obscure reach for a reference that, like, that's something. Thanks, seriously, for the diehard Muppet fans who are listening.
Oh. Yeah, I was thinking of I was thinking a completely different show with that one.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's a reach for a reference. That's seriously for like the five people listening who are
Beauregard.
Yes. No, it's a Frank Oz quote. It's a Frank Oz quote.
Oh, okay.
Enjoying a can of beans. The nice thing about is being a puppeteer, you can go to the can of beans. You can go to the store and get a can of beans and nobody knows who you are. But the problem is that when you go to the store and you want to buy a can of beans and you want people to know who you are, it's very frustrating. It's a whole quote that he has.
Okay.
In one of the documentaries.
Oh, see, here I was thinking Animaniacs, like you mentioned before. We would like to take a survey. Do you like George Wendt movies? Do you like beans? Do you like watching George Wendt movies while eating can of beans?
I work with a woman who talks like that. She sounds exactly like that. And every time I work with her, it's all I can think about is, would you like to take a survey? Do you like beans? Do you like George Wendt? Would you like to eat beans with George Wendt? Do you like to go to the movies with George Wendt and eat beans?
Did you intentionally keep her off the register or put her on the register
reason? She's on the register all the time, and I have no choice but to sit and listen to her. But
oh, my goodness.
But it makes me laugh every time I hear her.
So, yes.
Let's talk about legends.
That's it. Upcoming legends. Inducting legends. Deducting legends.
I'm surprised a few of these weren't, like, there are two here that I was very surprised were not already Disney legends. I thought they would have been.
It's a number of them have come around from the Fox acquisition, which it's fair enough for me at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, the Fox acquisition was like 5 years ago. So,
right. So at this point,
And actually, honestly, the two that I'm looking at go further back than the Fox acquisition. So,
that's true. But I can't, deny just about any of them.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, that the, let's see, August 11th, they will be introduced. This is part of the D23 celebration, the Ultimate Fan Event. It will be hosted by Ryan Seacrest. It's surprising he's not in this list himself. And he will, I think it's actually going to be live broadcasted.
Oh, is it now?
That's what I'm thinking. Oh. I'm not seeing anything official on that.
Well, it's a little, it's early.
Yeah. But I have a feeling that we'll be able to watch some of this. But yeah, it's, should we just read off the whole list or should we keep them in suspense and as we talk about them?
It's your show. You decide, you do what you want to do.
All right. So we got the likes and talents of, Colleen Atwood, Angela Bassett, Martha Bandling, James L. Brooks, James Cameron, Jamie Lee Curtis, Miley Cyrus, Steve Ditko, Harrison Ford, Mark Ken, the one and only Frank Oz, yeah. Kelly Ripa, Joe Rohde, and last but not least, John Williams. So that's just a lineup right there.
Mm.
It covers all different aspects from costume design to animation to Imagineering, acting, composing.
I love the fact that when they do these, it doesn't just they don't just limit it to directors and actors. The fact that you've got Imagineers on the list, that you have parks and resorts people on there, that you have costume designers, that they really animators, that they really do try to reach. It is mostly actors and directors, but they really do try to reach the corners of the Disney empire. I'm saying?
Yeah. The fact that there's a couple of people that sat at a desk and their main contribution was drawing things.
Right.
You have another man who, someone that was well between directing and having his hand up some felt. So, someone just a costume designer, someone whose primary job was working at the parks and worked their way up from working in the parks. So, writers.
Yeah.
Someone who does a little bit of everything. It is. It's an interesting list. All right, and the one that kind of surprised me that hasn't already been nominated was, for me, was Harrison. Harrison Ford wasn't on there? But I was thinking about, he really hasn't done anything for Disney until becoming part of Disney.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I think, isn't, Carrie Fisher is a legend, isn't she? And both, I think both Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher are.
I think so. I think he's actually one of the last of them.
He's a holdout.
Yeah. So who would you like to discuss first?
I'll discuss anything you want. I will discuss anything you want. It's your show.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, let's actually go a little off center. I love the fact that James L. Brooks is on this list.
Sure. James L. Brooks.
And I feel like I should pull up his IMDb. I mean, because I think the real claim to fame here for him.
That he's from New Jersey.
What's that?
That he's from New Jersey.
Well, no. Well, I'm sure that's fine, but. No, I was actually thinking that I think the real claim for here is, again, what you were saying about the Fox acquisition, his work on The Simpsons. But, of course, he's done, so much. I mean,
just even his work with ABC is Room 222, Taxi.
Mary Tyler Moore show.
Mary Tyler Moore, yeah. So
as good as it gets, Terms of Endearment.
Tracy Ullman show, like you said, with Matt Groening for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
That's his.
But I think I think for Disney specifically, it's The Simpsons.
Yeah, because in the PR announcement, that was the biggest chunk that they did mention. But yeah, I mean, like I said, he did stuff for ABC before that as well.
Right.
Actually started off at CBS in the newsroom. Terms of Endearment, also part of his credit.
Yeah, I mean, he's got one of the most extensive careers. Tons of television. Here we go. God, I didn't realize he went that far back. I'm like, yeah, he was a writer on the Andy Griffith Show, 1968.
He started in the 60s.
I didn't realize his career stretched that far back. Mary Tyler Moore, I knew, wrote all
born May 9th, 1940.
All the spinoffs of Mary Tyler Moore, Rhoda, Phyllis, Lou Grant, Taxi, and then of course The Simpsons is the real big one.
That Girl, he did some writing for that. Yeah, Andy Griffiths, My Three Sons.
Yeah, I mean, wow, what a career.
Yeah, Room 222.
So yes, remember. definitely legendary worthy. Even just aside from being a Disney legend, he is legend worthy.
Rhoda, yeah, he just, the things that he's penned for is just as good as it gets. To mention that one, Spanglish, he's penned quite a bit, and he's, you know, you can go through the list and someone's going to recognize something out of it.
Something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody should recognize Simpsons.
Well, yeah.
It's been around so long. God, we're old.
That show just started a couple of years ago. It's been on for 35 years.
Oh, I was there at the beginning. Back when it was Klasky Supo were the animators on that. It was the animation house.
Yeah.
Who else do we want to talk about? I love that Steve Ditko is on here, too.
Let's go with Steve.
So for people who don't know, that's the co-creator of Spider-Man. He's responsible for the look of Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's from Pennsylvania. He, fan of Batman, he went into Atlas Comics, which eventually became Marvel Comics.
Yep.
Comics. And let's put it nicely, and worked with Stan Lee to come up with some. It was Amazing Adventures,
Amazing Fantasy was the first appearance of Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, they let's see here, Amazing Adventures as Amazing Adult Fantasies, which later they changed to Amazing Fantasies. Smart idea. Which he created, he introduced Spider-Man in that. The look of Spider-Man, I think a lot of the characteristics of it. He also redesigned Iron Man's armor to the popular red and gold design. He helped create the transformation of Bruce Banner into the Hulk.
And again, it's just nice to actually acknowledge, you know,
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, it's nice to acknowledge, you know, the artists, the people who are responsible for the look of the character.
Yeah.
You know, it's a character who's instantly recognizable. He's one of the most popular superheroes, you know.
He's one of Marvel's top characters.
Easily.
He also helped co-create Speedball and Squirrel Girl.
I mean, not even just Marvel. I mean, just in comics in general, he's just as recognizable as Superman or Batman. He's up there.
Yeah, he's one of your most...
Who's just known.
There's a reason why Sony went after that IP for their movies. So again, it's nice to give him credit for, you know, his achievements,
right?
You know, because he's not a Stan Lee that, you know, most people know Stan Lee when it comes to comic books and stuff,
right?
But when it comes to, you know, Steve Ditko, okay, who's this guy? So he's not as a household name.
Mm.
You know, if you're a more procured fan, then yeah, you're gonna recognize him. You're gonna kind of know who he is. But you know, and you'd recognize his contributions. But it's nice that he's getting the recognition that he deserves. But talking about Colleen Atwood, let's touch on her for a moment.
Let's talk about her for a moment.
So she is, and again, like you were saying, that they're giving credit to kind of all different angles and stuff, costume design. So, and primarily best known for, she does a lot of work with, I forgot his name already. Tim Burton.
Yeah, I see Dumbo on there.
All the way back to Edward Scissorhands.
Wow.
So she started with him early. She's from the Seattle area and got into the fashion world. And yeah, got she also did some Broadway work too.
Yeah.
Some Ragtime on Broadway in 1981. And that's where she met a couple of people that got her into the film. That's where she ended up meeting Tim Burton.
Yep.
I see
other Burton, Big Fish, Planet of the Apes, I see on there.
Uh-huh.
Sleepy
Beetlejuice. Through the Looking Glass, Lady and the Tramp, Little Mermaid. So, again, a lot of some good credits there, too. 13 films that she's done with Burton.
Wow.
Yeah, and she's actually done, let's see here, over 50 films and TV series that she's done costume work for. And again, nice that they are recognizing someone that would not be a typical person, you know, a typical industry area that you would...
Not somebody you would think of.
Right.
Who else we want to talk about?
Let's see, should we talk about Martha?
Martha Blanding? Sure.
Yeah, let's talk about Martha Blanding for a moment.
Mark off. I'm going to make... Hang on. I've got my little... Go ahead and talk. I'm now talking to myself.
Okay. Well, tell him I said hi.
Troublesome.
So she started off working at Disneyland as a hospitality cast member. She was hired to do tour guiding. And she quickly became a VIP hostess, so she would go around with the big celebrities whenever they came, and she would help escort them through the park, tell them things about the park, tell them the history of rides and different like trivia things, and also again try to escort them through and make their day a little bit easier and get them through the back channels so they didn't get overrun by everybody else and get to enjoy their time at Disneyland. From there, she also made her way up into the retail sector and merchandising, candy, film buying. She did that for a long time. She was many times one of the first Black women to be in those different roles in Disneyland. And she also starred in, let's see here, a special group. She did a lot of work for the Disney Anna Convention, which was the old fan gathering before D23 came about. Pulse. She co-founded Pulse, a business employee resource group for Black Disneyland cast members. So she's trying to diversify the company and the resources out there. She's a trusted mentor and fellow employee. She retired in 2022. When did she start? It doesn't mention exactly when she started, but she's been there for quite some time. So, yeah. And she's also it's a Disneyland Resort and now becomes the first Black Disney Park employee designated as a Disney legend. Good for her. All right. Who's next?
I don't know. There's so many. Let's try and get some of the sort of obscure ones out of the way, and then we'll get into the. So how about we talk about the Imagineering guy, Joe Rohde.
Joe Rohde.
Probably know more about this than I do.
He's the only one on this list that I've actually met.
What's that?
So he's the only one on this list that I've actually met.
Oh, good. Tag, you're it. How did you meet Joe Rohde?
Huh?
Story time. How did you
meet Joe Rohde?
Tell the story.
This was when I was working in Animal Kingdom.
Oh, of course.
Because that's his key, you know, that's his baby.
Of course.
And one of his biggest...
I forget that you worked in the parks sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. So he...
I forget that I know you, too. So, you know, take that.
That's all right. I try to forget that I know me as well. So he retired. I'm going to use air quotes on retired because he was just recently spotted back at Disney Imagineering.
Sure. Stuck you back.
But he was retired in 2001. From Disney Creative or Walt Disney Imagineering, which he had a career for 40 years there. He's mostly known as the guy who designed Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park. He also designed a number of the big weenie attractions there, Expedition Everest, the Pandora World of Avatar expansions that were part of that. A lot of the Pleasure Island diehard fans also are a big fan of his work of the Adventurers Club, which there are still groups of people that gather together today and recite the entire script of that. The Adventurers Club was one of the nightclubs on Pleasure Island. Pleasure Island had lots of different themed nightclubs. There's an 80s one, there was a disco one, there's a comedy club. Well, they had the Adventurers Club, where you'd go in and there was a lot of characters that were situated around and even like different like effects that were part of this place, that there was a whole story that was involved. Now, right. It became so popular to the point that people were just going there to enjoy the story and not buying drinks, which kind of defeats the purpose of a bar. And it would be such a wait because people would just sit there and go, you know, listen to the spiel multiple times over because depending on the room you were in, it was depending on what story elements you were getting. So if you ever get the chance, check out the Adventures Club. It is quite interesting. Videos are on YouTube, of course, about it. But you know one of the original cast members from it.
I know one of the original cast members from the Adventures Club. Really? Uh-huh. What do I know?
Leslie.
Oh, interesting. I know her a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Better.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I think Leslie got one of her starts there before she got into puppeteering.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Am I getting the wrong? No, I'm almost positive it was her.
I believe it.
Yeah. One of the female puppeteers from Sesame Street, her start was actually in the Adventures Club.
I believe it.
One of her earliest jobs. It was this really cool place. And he also worked on stuff for Epcot. And then he also designed the Alani Disney.
Wait, the Illuminati? What?
Yes, he's part of that too. No, Alani, the Disney Resort in Hawaii.
Ah.
So he designed that. the Guardians of the Galaxy mission breakout retheming of the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror in California. He was part of that. Yeah, he's actually from Hawaii.
Okay.
So that's it. He's big into nature, into the environment. And I think you would like one of his sales pitches for the Animal Kingdom, whenever the board of directors said that animals were not captivating, was to bring a Bengal tiger into the board meeting room and explain to him, see, what are you paying attention to now? So, yeah, Joe, nice guy. Like I said, I got to meet him briefly working at the Animal Kingdom. It was early days of the park. I think it was right before the opening, and he was walking around. He was actually trying to take his son on some of the attractions. But his son, we were going to go on the safari, but his son kind of chickened out because of some of the special effects that were in it at that time that they've now taken out. But yeah, so. But we were quite an impressive guy.
Yeah.
First Disney cast member to have a mustache besides Walt. Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Who's next?
I'm always just amazed by Disney Imagineers. It's just the amount of just everything that goes into that job. I mean, because it's artistry and engineering and
storytelling,
and it's just a phenomenal. I can't even wrap my brain around what it means to be a Disney engineer.
I would love to just spend like a week with them.
Can't imagine
the stuff that they come up with and create. Yeah. I mean, you haven't been to the parks anytime recently.
Not in almost 20 years.
I could tell you, in Pandora, the Pandora section of Animal Kingdom, which was...
Oh, I've heard.
Yeah, they created the floating mountains that were from the movie. Yeah. It's incredible to just like walk around. And then they also used black lighting to create bioluminescent lighting within that area.
Right.
It's just spectacular. So the stuff that they come up with, and you know, a lot of that is James, you know, taking James Cameron's ideas off the film and then trying to create it in real life. And that just to be able to do that. And I remember when they were talking about this, like, how are we going to create floating mountains? Because that's just part of this. And how do we do that? And they did it. And I know how they did it, but even just knowing how they did it and then seeing it, you go, that just can't be. It defies nature. But they did it. And it's spectacular.
Shall we move on?
Moving right along.
Let's talk about animator Mark Henn.
Yes. Let's.
I mean, you look at it. This is another one where I'm looking at his credits. I mean, he went literally from being an uncredited animator on Fox and the Hound to straight up animating Mickey Mouse in Mickey's Christmas Carol. I mean, that's kind of a big promotion to take. Like, you're uncredited in this, and now, by the way, you're animating the face of the company.
Yeah, we're taking you from a movie that didn't do so well to entrusting the icon of the company.
But then you look further down his list, and it's like a who's who of Disney. You know, he was the lead animator on Ariel, on Belle, on Jasmine, like literally the first, you know, your three Disney princesses of the Renaissance, Young Simba, Pocahontas, Mulan. Yeah, I mean, he's literally all of the princesses from 1990 moving forward. You know, my gosh, what a career.
Big Hero 6, he did the 2D. He does a lot of the 2D work for the movies. Like in Moana, he did the 2D animated Maui that was on Maui.
Right, the tattoo.
Right, which I'm not sure people realize that Maui is a CGI 3D image.
Right.
His tattoo is a 2D hand-drawn image.
It looks so awesome, too.
It works so well, but it's so seamless, you wouldn't realize.
Yeah.
That it's just, it is completely separate. So it wasn't there when they were animating it. It works out brilliantly.
Right.
Oh, I love that scene. He was lead animator in the hula dance. The hula dancers are a hula dance section in Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful segment.
It's been a long time since I've seen Lilo and Stitch. I remember that.
I remember showing it and telling you you should watch this.
I know. You handed me and you were like, you need to see this. Otherwise, we can't.
You're like, fine, I got a couple of minutes to kill.
That was pretty much, that was literally what the conversation was. It's exactly what it sounded like.
Then he came back and go, I wasn't expecting that.
I liked it. Haven't seen it in a long time, but.
No, but you've seen the creator's other work.
Yeah, I've seen
a lot of the creator's other work.
Yeah. As we've established.
Yes.
Did the lead characters in Great Mouse Detective, did the lead characters in Oliver and Company.
Let's go back and watch that again. I haven't seen Great Mouse Detective in too long.
I was going to say Oliver and Company. I want to go back and rewatch.
I've watched that a few times recently. I still like that. I still enjoy that movie. And for me, it still holds up.
Yeah. The puppeteer. My God. I'm so tired. Why are we doing this? animated Bernard and Bianca for the Rescuers Down Under. I mean, yes, this man. Why wasn't this man a Disney legend
sooner? Yeah.
What's taking them so long?
You did work on the Roger Rabbit shorts. Thank you.
Yep.
Young Simba. Mulan. A lot of my favorites.
I want to see. He's got one. There's one listed here. How to hook up your home theater. It's a goofy how-to short. I desperately want to see that now.
Oh, you haven't seen that one?
I don't think I have, no.
That was their, I think, one of their most recent how-to shorts.
Well, yeah, 2007, so.
Yeah, that one's...
There's a really relative term there, my friend.
Well, there isn't too many, I think, after that that they could think of.
Didn't they do one during the... I feel like there was...
They did another one during COVID, yes.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but... I think it's on... I remember seeing that one.
Yeah.
I remember watching that one. If you remember what it was, write in and tell us. Was it funny?
Even did some animation work for Saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah.
Big Hero 6, which is another fantastic movie. Oh, here we go. Goofy, How to Stay at Home.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
There we go.
Your supervising animator on learning how to cook. So, it even got to do some work in Oswald the Lucky Rabbit and credit for work with Once Upon a Studio.
Sure.
The anime short.
For that, they brought in.
They brought everybody in for that.
It was old home week. It was like everybody they could round up.
So, yeah. Why isn't he already a legend? Don't know, but finally...
There's a couple. Well, you see, I'm going to talk about this later, but see, it also, yeah, I don't understand why Jim Cummings is still not a Disney legend. That's another one who, the voice of Pooh Bear. I thought the year that Christopher Robin came out, they were going to make him a Disney legend.
Yeah. I want to say maybe if that film did better in the theaters, maybe they would have, but. He needs to be inducted.
Yeah.
He's definitely, with the amount of work that he's done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just Pooh and Tigger alone. Why Pooh, isn't
Tigger, Pete.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a huge list of, Darkwing Duck. And I mean, he was on like literally all, with the exception of DuckTales, he was involved. He was a lead character on all of the original Disney animated lead character on Gummy Bears. He was a lead character on Rescue Rangers, or yeah, he was the villain. He was both of the villains, and he voiced Monterey Jack for a while.
Oh yes, yes.
And literally, there are episodes of there's an episode of Tailspin where he's like 90% of the show.
Well, he was Don Carnage, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because he's – well, there's one where there's a – and we've talked about this on the show before. There's one – there's an episode where – and I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. But it's Don Carnage kidnaps Louise Aunt Louise. And
yes.
And party ensues. And Jim Cummings literally plays Don Carnage, Louie, and Aunt Louise. And he's doing probably a good 85% of the lifting on that show. He carries the entire show. You know, Chuck McCann and Ed Gilbert and some of the others are sort of vaguely there and have bit parts. But it's the Jim Cummings show. And it's fantastic. And it's a funny episode, too. I mean, it's a brilliantly funny episode. And Jim is fantastic in it. But, you know, yeah, why isn't Jim Cummings a Disney legend? Hopefully they'll wake up eventually.
But, speaking of waking up,
yeah,
let's talk Miley Cyrus quickly.
Yeah, let's talk Miley Cyrus real quick. Hannah Montana.
Yes, it's starting off on Disney Channel with her father, which maybe she doesn't want to talk about at the moment, on Hannah Montana. And then going on with the songwriting and some voiceover work. So she started acting at the age of 8. Wait. Age of 13 is whenever she got into Hannah Montana, which became a huge popular success for the Disney Channel, spawning tours, music videos, a movie. She also was the voice of Penny in Bolt, which she won Golden Globe nomination for Best Original Song.
Mm.
She also, like I said, the Hannah Montana movie, which spawned the song The Climb, which is very popular. At the age of 31, Miley is now the youngest honoree ever to be named a Disney legend.
Hmm. Oh, well, yeah, I was just thinking about that, the fact that she's a Disney legend at such a young age.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
And I say that without judgment, but
well, no, yeah,
yeah.
Her show. Let's see here. You mentioned that 2007 series of Hannah Montana had 10.7 million total viewers, which I'm thinking is pretty good.
Yeah,
I would like 10.7 million total viewers.
I don't think I would want 10 points. That's too many eyes on me. I don't like people looking at me.
Listeners. Let me correct that. 10.7 million listeners.
I don't know why 10.7 million people would listen to me.
I don't know why one person listens to us.
Mm, I listen to you.
Do you, though? Well, you hear me.
I hear you. Yeah. I know which one you are.
You can pick me out of a crowd if... forced to, if someone offers you a sandwich
or
a bowl of cereal.
But the problem with that is that I have to acknowledge that I know you. And...
No, no one needs to acknowledge me.
I have to acknowledge publicly that I know you. Let's move on to Kelly Ripa.
Okay, there we go. You can acknowledge her. Also from New Jersey.
Is she?
Yes.
Really?
I think so. Where?
Does it say?
No, it doesn't say in the PR report, but hold on.
Oh.
I'm almost positive... She's from New York or New Jersey? I think she's a Jersey girl. I'm almost positive.
What do you think? North Jersey or South Jersey? Before we
South.
Look this up, you think she? Oh, you think she's a South Jersey girl? I would say North.
Camden.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
Go to Camden Community College.
Yeah, that's way south.
I don't have an exact... place of birth, but oh yeah, here we go. Stafford.
Where is Stafford?
I've heard it.
Oh, Stratford, New Jersey.
Stratford, sorry.
In Camden County. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it's down south. It's down south.
She's a Southern girl. Southern Belle.
Okay. Wow. And she's been, host of, trying to think, 20, gotta be about 25 years that she's been doing live.
Yeah, she's been doing it for a while.
Took over. I think I just graduated college when she took over.
Spanning over 30 years, has 100 viewers. Yeah, with a career at ABC spanning over 30 years. Well, that's including her soap opera.
Right. And then she had a short-lived sitcom with Faith Ford, Hope and
Faith. Hope and Faith.
Hope and Faith. With Ted McGinley.
Yes.
That too. The sitcom killer.
That's why that show didn't go far.
I think there was an interview with McGinley where he actually said that. He's like, yeah, it's my fault. I killed it.
And she also does production work with her husband, Marco Suelos, who's now also her co-host on Live.
Live.
So, Aloho Productions.
Oh.
She's won awards from GLAAD, for media. Listed as Women in Entertainment Power 100 list. 35 really? Most powerful people in media.
But how many most powerful women in media?
35.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Most powerful people, not women, just people in general.
Sorry, I misheard.
Yeah.
Really? That actually really surprises me.
Let's see here. Kelly added New York Times bestselling author to her resume as well.
I'm sure she did.
Collection of Livewire long-winded short stories.
Long-winded short stories?
That sounds like a title you'd come up with.
Is that really? Does it seriously say that, or did you make that up?
No.
What is this? Let's talk off. I can't. You're just showing me words. I can't see what any of this. I don't see anything that says long-winded short stories.
Hold on.
I had something blocking the screen. So show me that again. Where does it say that?
All right. Now they highlighted it.
Okay. Livewire, long-winded short stories. Okay. Funny title. I like that.
That's what I said. It seems like a title you'd come up with.
It does.
So, yeah. So she's a busy lady.
And now she's a Disney legend.
And she's a Disney legend. I won't mention her age.
I'll look it up because I am curious.
Our age plus 8.
Okay. That's what I would have guessed.
Yeah.
In the, ballpark. So now people are going to, we've got to look up Kelly Ripa's birthday so we can find out how old these two geese are.
Then we have to add 8. Got it. Yes.
Shall we move on? Let's break things up and talk about James Cameron?
Yes. Let's swing on over.
We had a lead in earlier and I didn't realize because you were talking about Avatar.
It was a natural organic transition, which is why we naturally missed it.
Yeah, wow. Sorry, folks, we failed you.
Or did we? Or are we meeting their expectations?
Film director James Cameron has done,
hasn't he?
You know, it's always with a lot of these lists, when you do get to the, when you get to some of the bigger names, it's like, okay, what did they specifically do for Disney? What makes them a Disney legend? And I think in this case, it's almost specifically Avatar. It has to be.
Well, you got Avatar, you have Aliens, The Abyss, Titanic, Avatar Way of Water.
Avatar, more money.
Didn't he?
I don't know, did he?
He's Secrets of Elephants. His early days, didn't he? His early days are connected to Disney, isn't it? All right, or I'm just really thinking Tim Burton.
I don't know.
He was instrumental, like we were talking before about the Avatar.
And Piranha 2, The Spawning. So, I mean, that's Disney, isn't it?
Could be.
Now I kind of feel like Disney needs to make it like an, I think they need to do like an animated remake of Piranha 2, The Spawning, like make it a musical.
Oh, he's Canadian. I forgot about that.
Who isn't?
William Shatner's Canadian.
It's, I feel like, because, wait, somebody else, you mentioned somebody else was Canadian earlier. Who were we talking about that you said was from Canada? Who on this list is from Canada?
Well, let's see. No, I mentioned two people from New Jersey.
Oh.
Which is close to Canada, but not exactly.
Hey, remember when I told you that I listened to you? Apparently I don't. No, I feel like, didn't we talk about Canada earlier on the show? Isn't James Brooks Canadian? No. I don't know. Never mind. What were we talking about? We're talking
James Cameron. James Cameron, who you know, did amazing work on Terminator. You know, yeah. We should thank him for that. Like I said, Aliens.
I mean, his work on Terminator, that's really the start of that sort of jump starts the digital animation age. I don't think you would have had Jurassic Park if you hadn't had Terminator.
No.
And there's no way, and you wouldn't have had the Star Wars prequels without Jurassic Park. So there's a line of lineage there.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff as far as the Aliens and the Terminator movies that he gets credit for.
Mm.
Some like honorary credit, I would have to say. It's, he's creator of Dark Angel.
Yes.
I somehow gave us Jessica Alba.
Sure.
We should definitely be thankful for that. Let's see here.
And Titanic. Was director on Titanic.
Yes. Which I don't have to be as thankful, do I?
No.
Though Abyss was good.
He's responsible for the Titanic.
Yes. He's solely responsible for that. Oh, Rambo? Rambo? Wait, no. Rambo the arcade game.
Of course.
Well, there you go. That is top on his list.
Hey, everybody's got to start somewhere, man.
This is true. This is true. So, James Cameron, and he's even more involved now since he's all, you know, it's all part of the family. Since they're bringing more Avatar to California, I believe it is. So he's going to be hands-on in on that, on the new Avatar section that they are building there. But part of that, which is the important part also with Avatar, is his contributions to the environment and conserving our environment. James Cameron. What a Canadian.
To be certain. Shall we move on to Angela?
Let's move it on to that. Yes. Miss Angela Lansbury.
No, Angela. Is Angela Lansbury's got to be. Is she a Disney legend? She's got to be.
I think she is. I want to say she is.
I want to say she is as well.
You tell me.
I'm working on it. Hang on.
I'll talk about Angela Bassett while you're looking.
My computer's being weird, so give me a second. Start talking about Angela Bassett, and I'll...
Angela Bassett.
I might interrupt you eventually.
She got her career start really in Boys in the Hood, where she portrayed a fierce queen. She started off as a mother. In that, as a single mother, and most now known for her portrayal as the Queen of Wakanda in Black Panther, but that's not to limit her credits. She was born in New York, moved down to, eventually moved her way down to St. Petersburg, Florida. Where she was admitted to the National Honor Society She actually went to Yale as well, earned her Bachelor's of Fine Arts in African American Studies, and also a Master of Fine Arts from Yale School of Drama, where she moved after that to California. She has portrayed characters such as Coretta Scott King, Rosa Parks. She also got to play, best known for Tina Turner and What's Love Got to Do It with It.
I forgot that was her.
Yes. She has Academy Award nomination and Golden Globe for Best Actress, making her the first Black performer to win this category. She received 2 Emmy nominations for Outstanding Narration for National Geographic's The Flood in 2018, and Disney Plus docuseries The Imagination Stories, which is also really good if you haven't checked it out. Imagineering Story is highly recommended. Second Academy Award, this time for the Best Supporting Actress category for the role of Queen Rodama in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which I think she did a fantastic job in, but she did not win the award for that.
No.
And let's see here, she's executive producer on the drama 9-1-1 and the voice of Dorothy Williams in Disney Pixar's Soul.
Hmm.
Amongst many other things. Did you get an answer on Lansbury? My
computer is being slow, but yes, she is a Disney legend. Hang on. I don't know when she became a Disney legend, but yes, she is.
Okay, good. I thought so.
Yeah. Trying to get the mind. You're, in 1995 she was inducted, so she's been well taken care of in that regard.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Moving right along.
Who should we talk about? Moving right. Should we use that as a moving right along? Should we use that as a segue? That's a good.
Are you ready for him?
No, but we'll talk about it anyway because you just.
Okay, go right ahead. This one's yours.
Let's talk about Frank Oz is a Disney legend, and I was
so
happy and thrilled to see Frank on this list, and yet also slightly surprised to see Frank on that list. For people who don't know, Frank Oz is the puppeteer behind Miss Piggy, Fozzie, the original puppeteer behind Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, Animal, Sam Eagle, Bert, Cookie Monster, and Grover on Sesame Street. Puppeteered on The Dark Crystal. Co-directed The Dark Crystal. Has directed Muppet State Manhattan, Little Shop of Horrors. What About Bob? The Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Bowfinger.
Muppet State Manhattan.
Muppet State Manhattan. I mean, so many movies.
Little Shop of Horrors.
I said Little Shop of Horrors. And then, of course, was the puppeteer for Yoda in the puppeteer and voice for Yoda in the Star Wars movies. So
whenever Mike Quinn wasn't performing him,
well, he was always, Frank was always the voice.
Oh yes,
in the Star Wars movies, and then you know puppeteered him was you know primary puppeteer except for one or two instances. Yeah. So I mean, it's great that Frank is, and it's also odd because I know I don't want to say. I don't want to say the relationship has been strained, but I know that when Disney bought the Muppets, he went in and he pitched a movie to them, has offered to film ideas to them and wanted to go in and work with them on Muppets and help them establish Muppets. And Disney said no, which was a disappointment. I would love it if this were perhaps a bridge towards working with Frank to do Muppets stuff. But we'll see. I don't know. Frank's not getting any younger. But I would, you know, the Disney did such a great job with Muppets Mayhem. I would love to see them continue in that direction. But I would
letting the Muppet people run the Muppets.
I would love to see them bring Frank in and have him have his thoughts on it, have his fingerprints on it. So we'll see. But I'm thrilled that he's on this list and that he is going to be a Disney legend. He certainly deserves it.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Voice character. Oh, And he's done voice work in Monsters, Inc., Inside Out, and Inside Out 2.
And Inside Out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. He's one of the... He's the... he's Randall's sidekick in... I can't remember. Is it Fungus? Fungus, I think, is the...
Yes.
Here in Monsters, Inc. And then he's... He and Dave Goles have a very brief but very, very funny scene in Inside Out together. Do you know this?
I know this because you posted it.
Yeah. They're the two guards, and it's like a little 30-second thing about, you know, that's my hat. What? No, it's my hat. It's you can tell it's my hat because it's the sign and it says my hat. It's got a tag inside that says my hat. Right, it's got the tag that says my hat, so it's my hat. No, if it was your hat, then it would say your hat, but it says my hat. Or it's back and forth like that, and it's so funny. And apparently they literally just put Frank and Dave in a studio together for a couple of hours to riff this like 30-second bit, and they had like just hours of footage of the two of the, or hours of recordings of the two of them just back and forth doing little bits of business. They're going to be back in Inside Out 2. I don't know if it's new recordings or if they're using something from 10 years ago, but I may have to go see Inside Out 2 just to hear the two of them.
That's a selling point right there.
I was watching a Muppet thing, not too long ago. Dave Goles celebrated his 50th. Dave Goles is Gonzo, and he celebrated his 50th anniversary with the Muppets, and they did a huge thing on Bill and Gene Beretta's podcast, where they had just everybody in. They had everybody that Dave has ever worked with to celebrate his 50th anniversary. And they had the director of Inside Out, and he had he played some of the outtakes of Dave and Frank. And it was insane stuff. It was nutty stuff, and it was hysterically funny. So I'm very eager to hear the two of them in Inside Out 2. All right. And again, I'm thrilled that Frank is a Disney legend.
I think, yeah, it's definitely well deserved.
Yeah. All right. Let's bring this into Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes. Let's hit up Jamie Lee Curtis. Queen of Scream. But yeah, Scream Queen. Got that backwards. John Carpenter's classic Halloween.
Yeah, I feel
True Lies.
We missed another. I think we missed another really good lead in there, which is
The Haunted Mansion. The Muppets Haunted Mansion. Her Haunted Mansion.
Here we go, because Jamie Lee Curtis was in True Lies, which was directed by James Cameron.
There we go.
See, this, I'm not going to say this is our worst show, but it's the show we're definitely the least prepared for.
And I actually did research
for this one. 3-4.
That's what happens when I get an allergy attack and have to postpone things.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
I remember the first thing I think I ever saw her in, there was I can't remember what the name of it was. There was a sitcom she was in with the late Richard Lewis, who just passed away. What was anything for love? Anything but love?
Anything but love.
Was that it?
Yes, where she played Hannah Miller.
Yeah, and I remember
56 episodes from 89 to 92.
Yeah, it didn't run that long, but I remember enjoying it. It was an enjoyable. They were cute. They had good chemistry together, on screen chemistry together. And then it was like 4 or 5 years later. She was in True Lies, and she was like an action star. And it was so weird to see her go from doing comedy to being this action star, in this sort of like sleeper hit, you know. Actions Arnold Schwarzenegger movie that nobody was sure what to make of, a comedy action movie.
Yeah. I mean, she really got to know, getting her start in the Halloween. Well, I mean, she did stuff before that. She's in Charlie's Angels.
Done a ton of stuff.
Columbo, Hardy Boys, and Nancy Drew. Wow. What episode?
Was she in a Columbo movie?
She was in the TV series.
Wow.
She was a waitress.
I did not know that. She was a waitress?
She was a waitress.
Must have been like one of her work first roles.
Quincy M.E. is her first credited role.
Okay, well, I didn't say it was her first. I said
one
of her first.
Operation Petticoat. Charlie's Angels, Halloween. That's her big one. Love Boat.
And now
Buck Rogers in 25th Century.
And now she's Academy Award winning actress Jamie Lee Curtis. And I'm.
Yes.
Yeah, well deserved.
Escape from New York. She was the voice of the computer and the narrator.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Uncredited.
Oh.
Trading Places.
Oh, right, with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah. I forget that she's in that. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Fish Called Wanda.
And Frank Oz is in Trading Places.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Because he's in a bunch of those old John Landis movies. John Landis loved putting him in. He's in Spies Like Us. He's in the Blues Brothers. He's in Trading Places. And then so when Frank did Muppets Take Manhattan, John Landis is in Muppets Take Manhattan.
Spinal Tap Reunion. My Girl, True Lies.
Hmm.
Ellen's Energy Adventure. That's right. She was in Ellen's Energy Adventure. Bringing it back to Disney. That's the took over the Energy Pavilion, which had Ellen on Jeopardy play against Stupid Judy, Judy Peterson, who is played by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Curtis.
And assisted by Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh.
Who teaches her all about energy. Fierce Creatures.
Fish Called Wanda.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mentioned that one, yes.
Oh, I missed that.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Island of Misfit Toys. Freaky Friday. Christmas with the Cranks. Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
What?
Yep.
Well, there's your legend status right there.
That's the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Pinnacle. Everything else, you know, was worked up to that moment. Knives Out.
Right, I forgot she was in that. Which Frank Oz is also in.
Yes.
Another Frank Oz film. Have you ever seen that?
Knives Out, yeah, I love that.
Oh, it's such a good movie. And Frank is hysterical in that.
And the most recent edition, 2023, is The Haunted Mansion.
Hmm.
Which she does a good job with, as Madame Leota.
Oh, of course. All right. And finally, I think these last two on the list, we can kind of knock out at the same time because they're so intimately tied together.
If one is in a project, the other one is usually in the project, too.
Yeah, like I can't imagine one without I literally cannot imagine one without the other. Which Harrison Ford and John Williams.
I think I can only think of one movie that possibly the other one isn't in, which Air Force One. I don't think John Williams did the music to that, but I could be very well be wrong.
Ford's done Air Force One, and he's done, what was the, didn't he do Cowboys versus Aliens and American Graffiti? And, I mean, there's a whole bunch of Harrison, but I mean, come on, let's face it. You're talking about Harrison Ford. When you're talking about Harrison Ford, you're really talking about two characters, which are Han Solo. And no matter what else Harrison Ford has done, and he's done a lot with his career and a lot in his career, Harrison Ford will always be remembered as Han Solo or Indiana Jones. I mean, those two just
hand in hand, yeah,
cast a shadow over everything else. And then when you start talking about Han Solo and Indiana Jones, you start talking about Star Wars and Indy, you're ultimately talking about John Williams. I mean, because, you know, he also contributed so much to those films.
I mean, yeah, you could go back to, you know, Blade Runner, Patriot Games, Fugitive, Clear and Present Danger, so many other things. But like you said, the iconic characters that he's brought to film and to the world.
Yeah.
Being here, you know, Han Solo and Indiana Jones, that, you know, it's you can't, those are like I said, pinnacle characters. He's now going to be joining the MCU as taking over as Thunderbolt Ross.
Thunderbolt Ross.
Which, that should be interesting. But yeah, he's an iconic actor. And getting his due there, and John Williams, dude, you just, you know, you hear his music, and you kind of instantly recognize it.
Yeah. Indie and Star Wars will be probably the two that he's most known for, but again, Jaws, Harry Potter, Superman. I mean, so much that John Williams has recorded. And
that's right. I forgot he did Harry Potter.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. God, what a beautiful score that
is. Oh, that Jurassic Park is, you know, even though you've never seen it, but the score just lends itself so beautifully into some of those scenes.
Yeah. So there you have it, your 2023 Disney Legends.
Yeah, it's, again, quite the list. I thought there's a little blurb here that I thought was quite interesting. That, let's see here. And they get the statue. Including this year's honorees, there's a total now of 318 Disney Legends.
Wow.
And past including Tim Allen, Dame Julie Andrews, Howard Ashman, Kristen Bell, Robert Downey Jr., Annette Funicello, Whoopi Goldberg, Sir Elton John, Dame Angela Lansbury, oh, there we go, George Lucas, Steve Martin, Alan Menken, Haley Mills, Fess Parker, Ellen Pompeo, Robin Roberts, Marty Sklar, Dick Van Dyke, Barbara Walters, Ming-Na Wen, Betty White, and Robin Williams, amongst many, many others.
All your Disney princesses. I believe all the Disney princesses are finally in there.
I believe so. Yeah, because they did. Well, they're not technically princesses, but they.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah. Because they did Anna and Elsa. They did Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel.
Right. And Ming-Na Wen.
Ming-Na Wen's on there.
The last ones.
Yeah.
Like a series, when I found out, I was like, it was funny. I think we talked about this at the time. She was inducted the same year that Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. were inducted. So I was sort of looking at it and I'm like, you know, the Iron Man, the director of Iron Man, and what immediately went to my mind was her character from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I thought, that's a weird choice. And then I remembered later on that she was the voice of Mulan. I was like, oh, right. That, I think you were the one who told me, like, oh, no, yeah. She's Mulan. I was like, oh, right. And then you start looking into it and you're like, wait, why did it take them so long to get her. In? Like, this is past due.
And now she's also Fennec Shand, so it's like...
Right. So she's, yeah, right. And well, I know this has come up several times on the show that she holds the Disney Triple Crown, that she is... Yes. She is in Marvel, she is in Star Wars, and she is a Disney princess.
And she kicks butt in all of them.
Yeah. And Jim Henson is a legend. Jim is a legend.
Jim's definitely a legend.
Stan Lee. Both the original voices of and the slightly later voices of Donald, Mickey, and Goofy.
Yep. Brett Erwine. Lucy Taylor.
I was going to say, is Rusi?
That's a good question. I am presuming she is.
I don't think she is. I think
that is a mistake.
I Yeah, no, okay.
She is? Okay.
She is trying to come up with what year she was. She was inducted in 2008. Okay.
Good. She's been there for a while.
Okay. Yeah, I got nervous about that one.
I remember. Oh, I mean, tragic as it is. One of my last trips to Disney World. She passed away just before we got there.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was like this heavy weight on me that whole time, just going through the park. Anytime I'd see Minnie Mouse and stuff and just thinking, oh, what a talent that we lost.
Yeah.
A sweet, sweet person.
Yeah. From all stories.
Yeah. So, but there you have it. What do you think of the list, everyone? Please let us know. Matt, thank you for joining me on this one. A slightly extended episode, but too many talents to avoid and not give their due and their credit to. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure.
And have a good night, everybody.
Good night, Gracie. Again, make sure to join our social media. Find us just about everywhere at WD MagicCast. And make sure to subscribe to the show on YouTube as well, so you can listen to it there and check out any videos that we may occasionally post on there. Or I should get back to posting videos on TikTok. Thank you for your time. Thank you. I know how little time we all have, and the fact that you got to spend some of the time with us truly means a lot to me, to us over here at the WD MagicCast family. Please go on to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave a rating review. We have all 5-star reviews at the moment on there. Keep them coming. The more that we have, the more that those podcatchers will promote our show and get more people involved, because Walt believed in a big Disney family, and so do I. The more people that get involved, the better we can make this. Don't forget to subscribe to the show while you're at it. This way you always know when a new episode is posted. Consider becoming a premium subscriber. Truly help the show out. This way you can do this over at Spotify/WD MagicCast. I could have that wrong. The link is in the show notes. And so is the link to all of our social medias and to our merchandise shop. Again, get yourself some really cool WD MagicCast swag and help this podcast out while you're at it. Because remember, this show is brought to you by listeners like you. In Japan, broken objects are often repaired with gold. The flaw is seen as a unique piece of the object's history, which adds to its beauty. Consider this the next time you feel broken. Never give up. Never give in on yourself. You are special. You are beautiful. You are here for a reason. Never forget that. And never be afraid to ask for help. Help will be given to those who seek it. Now I'd like to end this week's show with a quote from Walt Disney himself. Everything here at Disneyland and the studios is a team effort. Again, that's from Walt Disney. Thank you again for listening, everyone, and I'll see you next time.